This is part of the series of This Is Your Brain On. This is your brain on audio pollution. I once knew someone who called radio ear static, I think, that it was something to keep you from thinking as you drove or as you were doing whatever it was you were doing. And I think one of the things I think we are missing is silence. When I lived in Spokane, I used to listen to music all the time. And then when I moved here, which is out in the forest, I found myself listening to music less and less. And finally, about 6 months ago, after not listening to the stereo at all for years, I finally just moved the stereo, removed it from the house. And I realized that the reason that when I lived in Spokane, I'd been listening to music so often, pretty much constantly, was because I lived about 150 yards from the interstate, and I was using the music to mask out the sounds of cars. And as I no longer had the sound of cars in the background, I found I was much more interested in listening to either frogs or birds or silence. And I'm not a neurologist. I don't know what happens in our brains when we are hearing chatter. I just know for myself that Joseph Campbell said that something that was, that all people of all times have known until recently is that to have anything approaching a spiritual life, one of the first requirements was leisure. And I think for me at least, that's one of the things that's also true for anything approaching a spiritual life is a lot of quiet time and a time without distraction. And I want to mention also that I feel, I'm not saying this about anybody else, a difference between the sounds of machines and even the sounds of humans and the sounds of non-humans. And I can walk through a forest hearing bird song, and I find that it doesn't distract me. And I'm not making a larger statement about anyone else, but I know for myself, I've said this many times, that when I go, for example, on tour, at the end of the day, I feel abraded because there were so many humans and so much machine noise and so many cars and so much concrete that when I get done with the event, I go back to my hotel room and I shut the curtains and just turn off the lights. And then I feel overstimulated and I feel as though my skin has been abraded off. And I don't feel that in the forest. I don't feel that when I hear, you know, Aleutian geese flying overhead. Even if I'm in a forest that has a lot of songbirds singing, I still don't feel that agitation. And again, I can't speak to anyone else. There's really two points I'm making. One of them is that for me at least, there is a dramatic difference between, non-human sounds and or sounds of nature and sounds of just cultural sounds in general. And then the other is for myself, I have found that it is very helpful to attend to what I'm bringing into my body and to attend to how I feel about it. And then I guess that brings up another thing that's a whole nother topic, but is something I've been thinking about a lot is, so there's a song from the 70s, by the Marshall Tucker Band, that some of the lines are, can't you see what that woman she been doing to me? And I've been thinking more and more about how incredibly dangerous it is. Okay, one of the reasons that music is so powerful is because there are like chord progressions that can open us up to that can open up our psyches and open up our bodies. There is, I mean, Beethoven's Ninth affects me viscerally. It was probably not until the 100th time that I heard it that I could listen to it without bursting into sobs. And there is, music is a central feature of our being. And it is one of the ways that we learn how to be human is with participating in collective song, participating in, and these songs. I remember once that Jeanette Armstrong said to me, she's an Okanagan writer and activist. She said she was going to that weekend go off and do some work with a woman who had just gotten away from an abuser. And she said, we work with sounds and symbols that can open up your psyche so we can do the same in one weekend of work as a regular therapist would take 10 years to do by just opening people up with these sounds. And that's another problem. I know that this is off the original topic, but I think it's really important, is that what a huge means, it terrifies me that you can have 19 or 20 or 25 year old males who have been able to discover power chords and have discovered a power chord progression. I heard an interview with some guy on Fresh Air, some rock star, saying how cool it was to go to Mongolia or someplace where they hadn't really heard Western music. And he said, we can go in and we can play rock and roll, and the teenagers are all responding viscerally to the power chord progression. There was something archetypal about it. And that's all fine, except it terrifies me that because of the power chord progression, you can have 20,000 people in an audience, including women, singing along with, oh, can't you see what that woman she been doing to me? What does that put into the bodies of? How does that affect male and female relationships? How does that affect us in a culture that's already saturated with misogyny and woman hating, which are the same thing? So, you know, they talk about television as being one of the most powerful tools for brainwashing that's ever existed. I think that pop music is as well. And then you can combine them with advertising with and movies where you have, or TV, where you'll have chord progressions too that will open us up. And I'm not, all I'm saying is that when I learned to recognize how music opens us up, I suddenly became horrified when I then attended to the lyrics of a lot of popular songs. So it's hurting us on multiple levels. One level is that we need silence. And the other is that the silence that is being filled by the silence that is filled with this culture is filtered through capitalism and through patriarchy. I mean, here's the thing. When Jeanette went to help that person, she had that person's best interests at heart. And I don't believe that the executives at record companies and TV companies and advertising companies and the musicians themselves, I don't think they have our best interests at heart. I don't think they've even thought this through. So what's the solution? I mean, we are immersed in this machine culture, and I think that the personal solution is to attempt to see what's going on and to attempt to attend to, you know, we can, any number of times when I was 18 to 25, I would be, you know, driving down the road with the cassette player at high volume, singing along to some sort of lyric that in retrospect was horribly misogynist. And so I think the first step is to attend to it. And socially, of course, one of the things that we need to do is destroy mass culture, but that's another topic.